today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tes. Good morning, everybody. We're holding on daf, well, we're holding wherever we want to be holding, but we're going to start from Daf Chesam and Beis at Omar Mar Be'ezras Hashem. And today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. So we are going to pick up at Omar Mar, and we're continuing to discuss a brisa that we previously quoted. So what we're going to talk about today is, first of all, whether Hotza'ah through a Makom Patur in the middle, if you take from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but you pass through a Makom Patur in the middle, or if you take something Dalet Amos in Rosh Hashanah and pass through a Makom Patur in the middle, what is the status as far as such a Hotza'ah? Then the Gemara is going to have two explanations of what exactly the case is where the status of the Iskufa depends on whether the door is open. Because if you remember, we had a Brisa that said that if you have this Iskufa, this like a stoop that's between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, so according to one opinion, according to the opinion of Acherim, it depends whether the Iskufa, whether the door to the Rosh Hashanah is open or closed. So what exactly is the Metzius of such a case? So, and then the Gemara is going to talk about carrying from a Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah that happens to border on it. So you have two Rosh Hashanah that are adjacent to each other. Is there any problem with carrying from one to the other? So those are going to be the topics in Amud Aleph. Amud Aleph is by far the more complicated and technical of the two Amudim in today's Daf. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis that discusses what one is not allowed to do when the Zman Mincha approaches. Not just on Erev Shabbos, but at any time. On any day, when the Zman Mincha approaches, that we're not supposed to do things that might distract us. The Gemara is going to talk about, what do you mean Zman Mincha? Zman Mincha Gedola or Zman Mincha Ketana? And then the Gemara is going to say, what does it mean not to begin these activities? We're going to talk about activities such as haircutting and bathing and tanning, not tanning like in the sun, but tanning hides, animal hides, and eating. So what does it mean that one has begun to do all of those things? So let us begin. Again, we're on Ches Amud Beis at Omar Mar. So says the Gemara. Omar Mar, we had said in the Brisa back on Daf Vav Amud Aleph that if a person is standing on an iskufa, he's allowed to take from his iskufa, from this this stoop into a Rosh Hasharabim, or from the Rosh Hasharabim to the stoop, and similarly from the iskufa to the Rosh Hashiachid, or the Rosh Hashiachid to the iskufa. Uvelvad shel yitol mi balabayis v'nosin la'ani ma'ani v'nosin the balabayis. But what he cannot do is take from the balabayis in the Rosh Hashiachid and give it to the ani in the Rosh Hasharabim, or vice versa. V'imnatal v'nasan shloshim peturim. But if he did that, if he took from the balabayis and gave it to the balabayis, the ani, and the fellow in the iskufa are all going to be potter. So says Mar lematavi tiyufta derava. This seems to be a tiyufta on Rava. Why? Because what's the conceptual framework of this case over here? You're taking from Rosh Hashanah, transferring to Rosh Hashanah, or vice versa, but there's a Makom Patur in the middle. There's an Iskufa in the middle. So what is the status of carrying from one Rosh Hashanah to another when you have a Makom Patur in the middle? So says Mar lematavi tiyufta derava. It seems to be against Rava. Dama Rava, amavir chevitz mitchilas arba l'sof arba b'Rosh Hashanah. Afal pi shehaviro derech olav, that if you carry something from within a Rosh Hashanah four amos, even though you lift it up high above your head, so it's lemalame asar tfachim, meaning, and we know we've already had a few times that more than 10 tfachim off the ground of Rosh Hashanah has a status of a makom patur. So you're carrying it through a makom patur, but more than 10 tfachim off the ground, and then you put it down in the Rosh Hashanah within 10 tefachim of the ground. Chayiv, you're going to be chayiv in such a case, even though you took it through a makom patur. So isn't that a stira to what we just said? So it says Gemara, no, hasam lo nach, hacha nach. The case that Rava was talking about was even though you carried it through a Makom Patur, but it didn't rest in the Makom Patur. The Hanacha was within 10 Tefachim of the ground in the Rosh Hasharabim. And that's why you're going to be Chayiv. But in our case of the Braisa, the object rested in the hands of the guy who is standing on the Iskufa. So that's a Makom Patur. And if the object rests in a Makom Patur, then you're in fact going to be potter. The way Rashi explains that is that even though the guy in the Iskufa didn't actually set the object down when it got to the Iskufa, but nevertheless, since he's only moving the object because he is standing in the Iskufa, the object is considered to be resting where he is, and he is kavua in the Iskufa. He is on that Iskufa. However, the Ravid in the 12th parak of Hilchos Shabbos explains that no, hachanach means that the guy on the Iskufa is only going to be potter if he actually rests his hand while the object is in it, or he places the object down on the floor of the Iskufa. But if he actually just transfers it from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, without resting his hand in between, says the Ravid, he in fact is going to be chayiv, just like Rava says in the case of being Mavir Dal Ramos Rosh Hashanah. Good, then we learned in the Braisa that Acherim Omrim Iskufa Mishamesh Shtei Rishios. The Braisa went on to say on Dav Vav Amin Aleph that an Iskufa sometimes is a din of Rosh Hashanah, and sometimes it's a din of a Rosh Hasharabim. So, Bizmancha, Pesach Pesuach, Kilifnim, Pesach Noel, Kilichutz. It all depends on whether the door that separates the Rosh Hashiachid from the Rosh Hasharabim is open or closed. If the door is open, then the Iskufa itself, that stoop itself, is considered to be inside. It's considered to be part of the Rosh Hashiachid. If the door is closed, then the Iskufa is considered to be part of the Rosh Hasharabim. Now, we're going to be working with the assumption that the Iskufa is an Iskufa of a Mavui. That normally, if you have an alleyway, you have a Mavui that you're not allowed to carry in because there are many chaseros that open up into the Mavui, but it's only a Dinmi Drabanan that you're not allowed to carry in the Mavui, and you need a lechi at the end of the Mavui, a pole at the end of the Mavui, or a kora, a beam that runs across the entranceway of the Mavui in order to be permitted to carry in it. So we're assuming that we're talking about an Iskufa that's by a Mavui, and there is a lechi on the side of the Mavui where the Iskufa is, and the Iskufa runs across the full width of the Mavui. So when it's Pesach Pasuach, the Iskufa becomes part of the Mavui, and it's a Rosh Hashiachid, and then you're allowed to carry by virtue of the fact that there's a Lechi there, you're allowed to carry through the Iskufa and the entire Mavui. So ask the Gemara, when the door is open, so why is it that it has a din of Rosh Hashiachid? V'yavl gav de lesle lechi? Do you mean to tell me that even though there's no second lechi, meaning we're assuming that there is a lechi to be matzah the Mavui, but there's no second lechi to be matzah the Iskufa, there's no second pole by the edge of the Iskufa to actually allow carrying in the Iskufa? Aiv amrav chama barguria amrav, Tocha Pesach Tzorich Lechi Acher Lahatiro, that when you're in the thickness of a doorway, you need a second Lechi to allow for the thickness of the doorway itself, of the Iskufa itself. So even if the Pesach of the Mavui is open, you still need a second Lechi, because the Lechi that's there across the entire width of the Iskufa, even if it's a very thick Lechi, goes across the entire width of the Iskufa, is only Matir Tiltul from inside that Lechi, from the inner edge of that Lechi. It's not going to be Matir Tiltul from the outer edge of that Lechi, and therefore it seems that you would require another Lechi. The assumption seems to be, Rashi writes, that by every Lechi, you're not allowed to be Metaltel Kineged the Lechi, that you have to go, the Lechi is only Matir inside of it, because the Mechitza of the Lechi is only Nicker for those who are standing inside of that Lechi. The Tosa Rashi raises the question, so why doesn't the Gemara just say, give the answer that, yeah, in Achinami, you're talking about that there's another Lechi over here. Meaning the Gemara, like in the Kasha, we're sort of giving a potential answer already. We're saying, how could this be? There's no second Lechi. So the answer should be, yeah, there is. There's a second Lechi, and that should be it. So Tosa Rush explains that the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about a regular Mavui, and a regular Mavui doesn't have more than one Lechi, or more than one Kora. And therefore, the Gemara has this Kasha, that even though there's no Lechi, there's no second Lechi, it seems to be we're still being Matir. So why is that? V'chi tema delespe arba'a al arba'a. Maybe you're going to tell me you're talking about a tiny Iskufa that's not even four tvachim by four tvachim. That the wall that goes on the side where the Iskufa is, that's on each side of the Iskufa, has a thickness of less than four tvachim. And the Iskufa is between the two sides of the wall, and therefore it does not make its own rishus. So when the Pesach is Pesuach, even connected the inner part of the wall that's at the edge of the Yiskufa, that's on the side of the Rishus HaRabim, is going to be considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. V'amar Avcham Bar Guri Amarav, Tocha Pesach Aflu Bishen Bo Arba Al Arba Tzarech Lech Yachal Atiro. But that won't solve anything, because when you're talking about within the Pesach, even if it's less than 4x4 Tvachim, you're going to need another Lechi, and the Lechi of the Mavui is not going to suffice to be Matir the entire Mavui. Now there is a Machlokas in Maseches Erevin, Tosos points out over here in Dibra Maschel Toch, there is a Machlokas in Maseches Erevin, on Daf Tes Maseches Erevin, what Rav means when he says that Tocha Pesach Afal Pi Shein Bo Arba'a, you need a Lechi Acher Lahatiro. So Rav explains that Rav's talking about a Mavoi that's opened up into a Carmelis. That in that case, if you don't have a second Lechi, so the Lashon that Rav uses is Matza Min Esmino Vineor. The Eskufa, even though it's not 4x4 Tvachim, which would be the shear of a Carmelis, becomes batel to the Carmelis that's right next to it, and therefore becomes considered part of that Carmelis, and that's why it requires another Lechi to be Matir, because you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelis. But if the Mavi were actually opened up into a Rishos HaRabim, and the Eskufa were less than 4x4 Tvachim, it would be Mutter to carry in the Eskufa, even without another Lechi, because then the Eskufa would have a status of a Makom Ptur. That's Rava's understanding. Abaye says no. Abaye says that Rav is talking even in a case where the Mavi is opened up into the Rishos HaRabim, but only if the Yiskufa is very low, it's less than 3 Tvachim off the ground. If it's more than 3 Tvachim off the ground, it would be a Makom Ptur. And you don't have to worry that you can carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah derech that Yiskufa, because it's very clearly a Rosh Hashanah b'fnei atzma when it's more than 3 Tvachim off the ground. So the Balei Tos point out that Lechora, one could have asked, why doesn't the Gemara just say that according to Rava, the Brice over here is talking about a Mavi that's open into the Rishos HaRabim? Good, so if it's a Mavi that's open into the Rishos HaRabim, according to Rava, this whole din doesn't apply. It's only when it's a Mavi that's open into a Carmelis that the Eskufa becomes like the Carmelis. And according to Abaye, just say that we're talking about an Eskufa that's more than 3 Tvachim high. So Eitan is trying to call these. Eitan, everything okay?
I wanted to ask you if you could turn off your video, because the video is very choppy right now, and after the show's over, we can work on improving your connection for tomorrow.
So all right, if people, okay, but is the audio choppy?
In the chat, everybody's saying that both the video and the audio are very choppy.
Okay, so we'll help the audio if I shut the video?
Correct.
Okay, all right, I'll try that. Now I have to stop video. Okay. All right. Let's see if that works. All right. So, but if the Pesach is Na'ul, then it's considered to be, according to Abaye, rather, we should say it's talking about that it's 3 Tvachim high, because in such a case, even if the Pesach is Na'ul, it's considered to be Kilifnin. So I'm sorry. So, again, I lost my train of thought there. So, what Tosa says, we shouldn't ask why doesn't the Gemara say that the Braisa, according to Rava, is talking about the Mavi that's open to Rosh Hasharabim, and according to Abaye, that it's Gavoa Shlosha Tvachim, because in such cases, even if the Pesach is Na'ul, it would be considered Kilifnim. Even if the Pesach were not Pasuach, even if the Pesach were Na'ul, it would be considered Kilifnim, and you'd be allowed to be Metaltel in the entirety of it. So anyway, so we're back to this question, and here we are. So the question, and we're going to have two answers. The question again is that what exactly is the case of an Eskufa where its status is going to depend whether the door is open or the door is closed. When do we say that you have an Eskufa where if the door is open, it's considered like a Rosh Hashanah, and if the door is closed, it's considered like a Rosh Hashanah? Gemara has two answers. Answer number one, Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Hacha be'Eskufas Mavoi Askinan. We're talking about an Eskufa that borders on that is in a Mavoi, but not in a Mavoi that has a Lechi, that's matirit, rather a mavoi that has a kora, a beam over its entranceway, that's matirit. And we're talking about chetzio makora v'chetzio she'ena makora. But the beam only runs across, only runs along the width of half of the eskufa. And the truth is, minastam, that should be the case, because in order to be matir mavui, the beam that runs across only needs to be one tefach wide. The eskufa and the pesach hamavui, generally speaking, are much wider. The kiruyo klape pnim, and which part of the eskufa has some roofing on it, has that beam running across it? The inner part of the eskufa. So therefore, pesach pasuach, if the pesach of the mavui is open, kilef nim, then the eskufa has a din of being inside of the mavui, because when the pesach is open, the eskufa and the korah that are on it are connected to the mavui. So you're allowed to be metaltel under the korah, like you're allowed to be metaltel in the mavui itself. The Ramban and other Rishonim say from Lashon the Gemara, it sounds like you're only allowed to be, that you're even allowed to be metaltel in the entire eskufa, even the part that's not under the beam. But Rashi seems to say, no, we're only talking about the part that's under the beam. Pesach na'ul, but once you close that door of the mavoi, and therefore you're excluding the eskufa is on the other side of the door, so the entire eskufa is on the other side of the door, kilechutz. Then the eskufa has the status of a rosh hasarabim, and you're not even allowed to carry underneath that beam, because the door is locked, that separates the eskufa from the mavoi on the other side of the door, and therefore the beam that runs across the top of the eskufa is not going to connect to the mavoi, and it's the mavoi doesn't have a korah that's matirit, and therefore it's not matir the eskufa that's underneath that beam either. Since that beam is no longer being matir the mavoi is going to be mutter anyway, because now it has a wall when the door is closed. But since that beam is excluded from the mavoi, and it's not being matir that mavoi, so Mimela, the eskufa, the beam is not going to be matir carrying the eskufa either. So that's answer number one. Answer number one is, when does it matter if the door is closed or the door is open? It matters if the eskufa is being hutar by a beam that runs across the inner part of the eskufa. So when the door is open, you're allowed to carry under it because the beam makes the eskufa part of the mavoi. When the door is closed, the eskufa is excluded from the rest of the mavoi. Answer number two, says the Gemara of Ashi, Amar Liolam Beskufas Bayis Askinan. We're really talking about an eskufa of the bayis, that it's an eskufa that the entire eskufa has a roof on it. Ukagon Shakira Bishtei Koros She'ein Bazu Arba'a V'ein Bazu Arba'a. But there are two beams that run across the eskufa. Each one is less than four tefachim, ve'ein bein zo lezo shlosha, and in between them there are less than three tefachim in between them. V'delas be'emtza, and the door of the house is in between those two beams. So pesach pasuach kilefnim, when the door is open and when the door is open and therefore the door does not separate the two beams that are over the yiskufa, so then the area of the yiskufa has a din of being inside, and therefore you're allowed to be metaltel under it, because the two koros are considered like one, since there's a lavud, there's less than three tefachim in between them, and the width of those koros together equals four tefachim. So we view it as if the outer edge of the korah is yored and so same, the eskufa closes off the eskufa. So the eskufa is actually surrounded by four mechitzos, the mechitza of the house, and the two side walls, and the imaginary wall that comes out from the outer beam. But na'ul, once you close the door, kilechutz, then since the door is in between the two beams, so now you can't say lavud on the two beams. So it's separating the outer beam from the inner beam. So now whatever's outside of that door has a din of rishus harabim, and you're not allowed to be metaltel under it. So that's the answer number two in terms of how to explain the Gemara. So now the Gemara explains what acherim mean in the Braisa, and what's the case where you're not allowed to be metaltel from one rishos hayachid to another rishos hayachid. Meaning we've been explaining acherim, but what acherim go on to say. The acherim go on to say in the Braisa and Davav Amar Aleph, v'im haisa eskufa gavoa asara ruchava arba'a, if the eskufa is 10 tefachim tall and 4 tefachim wide, Harezu Rishus Liatzma. Then that's going to be its own Rishus, even though it's a Rishus Hayachid, just like a house is a Rishus Hayachid. Yeah, but it's a different Rishus Hayachid. And when it's a separate Rishus Hayachid, so you're not going to be allowed to be metaltel from the house to the Iskufa. Aye, the house is a Rishus Hayachid, the Iskufa is a Rishus Hayachid. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to carry from one to the other. Why not? So Misayel the Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. This is a raya to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Dam Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Omer Hoy Rabbi Meir. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says that Rabbi Meir had said, and Rabbi Meir is Acherim. Remember, whenever we say Acherim, it always means Rabbi Meir. Whenever you have two rishuyos that border on each other, vehein rishus achas, and they are halachically the same rishus, it's just one of them is a little higher, the other one is a little lower, but they're halachically both rishus hayachid, they're just not on the same level, kigon, amud b'rishus hayachid, like let's say for example, in a rishus hayachid, in your chatzer, you have a post that's 10 tefachim high, and 4x4 tefachim wide, gavoa asor v'rachav arba'a. Also, lekatev alav. You're not allowed to rest your whatever you're carrying on that bundle, on that post, rather. Why? Gezerah mishum tel berushas harabim. It's a gezerah that you might come to do the same thing in a rishas harabim on a mound that's 10 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim wide. Now, if you do that in a rishas harabim, that would be a violation of otsa amidoraisa, because in a rishas harabim, you can't put something down on a mound that's 10 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim wide, because that mound is the din of a rishas hayachid. So in this case, that you'd be chayiv min haTorah for being machnas min rishas harabim rishas hayachid. So the braisa is telling us that even when you have two rishuyos hayachid next to each other, you can't carry from one to the other if they're clearly separate rishuyos hayachid because of this gezeira. That's how Rashi understands that the gezeira of Rabbi Meir is not to be mekatef from the chatzer to an amud, because you might come to do the same on a tel berishos harabim. So it sounds like it's only if it's in a chatzer that we're going to make such a gezeira. Let's say it's in your house. Can you put something down on your dining room table? Would there be a problem with putting something down on your dining room table? Is 10 tefachim high? Probably not. But let's say your dining room table is, I never measure. Let's say it's 36 inches off the ground, and I assume our dining room tables are way more than 4x4 tefachim. So it's in a rishos hayachid, and there's another rishos hayachid right there. Am I allowed to put something down on my dining room table? So it sounds from Rashi, of course you're allowed to, that the issue is in your backyard, to put something down on a post that's 10 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim wide in your backyard. That's the Isser Midrabanan. And the Ritva Meseches Erevin explains that it all depends whether your Rishus HaYachid has a roof over it or not. The Rashba says that no, that even if your Rishus HaYachid does not have a roof over it, it's your backyard, you're still allowed to put something down there. It's only in a place that Midrabanan we treat like a Rishus Rabin. Only in the kind of Rishus HaYachid, like a Chatzer, a Mavoy, the kind of Rishus HaYachid that Midrabanan we're gonna treat like a Rishus Rabin. That's where we're going to say that people might get confused with a Rishus Rabin, and they're going to come to put something down in the they'll do the same thing in a Rishus Rabim and put something down on a post in the Rishus Rabim. Okay, that concludes Amud Aleph and the by far more challenging part of the Amud. I can't imagine how hard that must have been to follow if the audio was choppy the entire time. So my apologies for that. We'll get this right eventually, Mirza Hashem. But now let's move to Amud Beis, which is by far the more straight, I guess, simpler, conceptually simpler of the two parts of today's daf. So the Mishnah is going to bring a number of things, activities, that you're not allowed to begin before davening mincha, even on a weekday, which begs the question, what in the world is this Mishnah doing in Meseches Shabbos? It's got nothing to do with Shabbos. It's all about what you're not allowed to do before mincha on a weekday. So the Tana teaches this Mishnah. It talks about things that you're not allowed to do before mincha, even on a weekday, because they're similar to what we're going to say on Daf Yud Aleph, of things that you're not allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, Samach L'Chashecha, because you might come to forget and violate Shabbos. So since the next Mishnah is going to talk about Shabbos, so now we're going to, on Erev Shabbos, so now we're going to talk about even on a weekday. So that's why, and the reason this Mishnah comes first is because it's a much quicker Mishnah than the next one. The Dinim are much more straightforward. So anyway, says the Mishnah, Lo Yeshev Adam L'Fnei HaSapar, Samach L'Mincha. One should not sit in front of the barber to begin taking a haircut. Samach l'mincha. The Ran explains samach l'mincha means a half hour before the zman of mincha. However, the Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Hey, says kivan sheigia zman mincha gedola lo yikanes l'merchatz. That once the zman of mincha comes, sounds like not a half hour before, when it's the actual zman of mincha. It's true, the Rambam does write, eino soed samach l'mincha. You're not allowed to have a meal samach l'mincha, but the Kesef Mishnah explains that samach l'mincha means when the zman mincha has begun. So that's the difference between the Rambam and what seems like everybody else. Does samach mean a half hour before, or does it mean when the actual zman arrives? But anyway, ad sheisfal, until you daven, you're not allowed to start getting a haircut, because we're afraid you might forget to daven. You're going to get distracted. And similarly, you're not allowed to go into a bathhouse. You're not allowed to go to tan hides of animals. You're not allowed to go to eat a su'uda, nor even to a din Torah. And the reason for all of these things is shami yimashich, that these things draw you into doing them for a long time, and you're going to come to miss zman tefila. But if you began any of these things, you don't stop, you finish them, and then you daven. Mafsik in the Kriya Shema, vein mafsik in the Tefillah. We can also be mafsik for Kriya Shema, which is that we should be mafsik in the middle of these things, for Kriya Shema, just not for davening. So in the first half of the Mishnah, we said, you're not allowed to start these things samuch to this man, but if you began these things, then you don't have to stop. You can finish them and then daven. But that's only true about davening. You do have to stop for Kriya Shema. What's the difference between Kriya Shema and Tefillah? So Rashi understands that Kriya Shema is Doraisa and Tefillah is Midrabanan. So it's that simple. However, the Ran says the Ran says the same thing. The Bar Tanura says, no, it's because Tefillah doesn't have Zman Kavua Min HaTorah. It's not that tefillah's darabana, tefillah's daraisa. It's just that there's no particular zman of tefillah min haTorah, and therefore not mafsik l'ispala. Right? The Rambam writes in the first paragraph of Hilchos Tefillah that the ikar din tefillah is min haTorah. It's just that the chachamim were misakein the zmanim of tefillah. So that's why we're not mafsik for tefillah. We've seen many in Maseches Brachos, many distinctions between tefillah and Kriya Shema. Remember, we had the guy on the Rosh Ha'ilan that he can be Kari Kriya Shema Barosh Ilan, but he cannot be Mispalil Barosh Ilan. Over there, we treat tefillah as with greater level of stringency in terms of how to dress. We treat tefillah with greater level of stringency, but that's not because it's not a reflection of the greater level of stringency of tefillah in general. That's just a reflection of that tefillah requires kavana and omid lefnei Melech, and it's longer, whereas Kriya Shema is not omid lefnei Melech, it's just being mekabel malchus shamayim. But okay, now says the Gemara, hey samach l'mincha, which mincha are we talking about? Which zman mincha? There's what's called mincha gedola and mincha katana. Mincha gedola is a half hour after chatzos hayom, and mincha katana is nine and a half hours into the day, so 3.5 hours after Chatzos Hayom. So which mincha you're not allowed to start doing these activities samach to? So ilem l'mincha gedola, if we're talking about mincha gedola, even just a half hour after Chatzos, amaylo, why can't you start these activities at mincha gedola? Yikashos b'yom tuva. There's still plenty of time during the day. The day is not even close to over. You're nowhere near Shkia. So the Pnei Yeshua raises the question, so what that there's so much time left in the day? Don't we have a principle that the Gemara teaches at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, Zrizin, Makdimin, L'mitzvos? So that's why the Gemara says over there that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't begin learning on Erev Pesach when it comes time for Bedikas Chametz, because he might forget and not do Bedikas Chametz, even though you could do Bedikas Chametz all night. You have all night long to do Bedikas Chametz. Still, you're not supposed to start learning prior to doing Bedikas Chametz, even at the very beginning of the night. So here also, why don't we say, you're right, there's plenty of time left during the day, but Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvos. So the Pnei Yeshua says that when it comes to Tfilas Mincha, we don't say Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvos. The entire principle doesn't apply to Tfilas Mincha, because the ideal time to daven Mincha is Mincha Ketana. So even though, yes, you're able to daven at Mincha Gedola, but it's not the ideal time. We'd rather you delay a few hours to the ideal time. So that's why the Gemara is bothered. What would be the big deal about starting to eat before Mincha Gedola? You got plenty of time. Ella samach l'mincha ketana. Must mean that you're not allowed to eat samach l'mincha ketana. So when the Mishnah says imischilu ein mafsikin, name it havitu of the Rabbi Shimon Levi. But then we said that if you did begin to eat samach l'mincha ketana, samach l'mincha, which we're now saying means mincha ketana, so you don't stop, you're allowed to continue. But then that would be against Rabbi Shimon Levi. Tam Rabbi Shimon Levi, kiven shegez man tefilas mincha. That once mincha ketana comes, it's asur to taste anything. Sounds like no matter what, even if you've already begun to eat, you're not even allowed to continue eating. It sounds like, whereas the Mishnah says that as long as you began, you may continue. Says Mar Lo. The Mishnah does not mean samach l'mincha ketana liolam samach l'mincha gedola. Let's go back to how we said originally. Really, the Mishnah is talking about samach l'mincha gedola. But samach l'mincha ketana, you need to be mafsik even if you already began. And therefore, there's no kasha in Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. What was our problem with saying samach l'mincha gedola? Our problem was, what's the big deal? You got plenty of time. Why would we tell you not to eat? Oh, no, you don't have plenty of time, because what you're sitting down to do at this point in time is something very, very involved. When it says you're not allowed to start a haircut, it's not talking about a regular haircut. It's talking about the kind of haircut that Ben El Asa, Rebbe's son-in-law, used to get. He used to spend a lot of money to teach a certain type of haircutting that they used to be mistapper the Kohen Gadol with. And that takes a long, long time, and therefore the Mishnah says, don't even begin that, samach l'mincha gedola. What kind of wild haircut is this? As the Kohen Gadol used to get a haircut over his entire head in a way that each hair was directly bordered on the next hair, that the end of each hair reached up until the beginning of the next hair, and neither hair overlapped with the hair next to it. That's how Rashi explains. Without a machine, you couldn't just put a number on it and just, you know, do it, right? And nevertheless, each hair was only reached up until the next hair. That's how the Rambam explains in the fifth parak of Klei HaMikdash as well. That is Rosh Shalzu, Bitsadi Kara Shalzu, until it looked like his entire head of hair looked like one big hair. The Raiva disagrees, and he says that it means something else. But the bottom line is, it's some sort of very elaborate haircut. And Velola Merchatz, and we said you're not allowed to go into the bathhouse, Lukula Milsa de Merchatz. It means to, like, you know, a day at the spa, where you're going to do Chafifa Sarosh, and you're going to wash your entire body. Does this count as a Daf Yomi coincidence? Are we talking about washing and hygiene as all the... We'll count it. They say during the Black Plague, the reason that so many Jews were not affected by the Black Plague was because we're the only ones that were washing our hands, because we have Netilas Yadayim, and we were also bathing for Shabbos. We were bathing every week, and other people were not bathing nearly that frequently. Then Jews lost their lives because they assumed it was a Jewish conspiracy, and they killed tens of and tens of thousands of Jews because of that. But from the plague itself, our hygiene protected us. Anyway, Velola Borski, and now let it go to Borsiki. What does that mean? The Borsiki Kedola. It means that you have a lot of animal hides and you're just beginning the tanning process. Velo lechol. And what does it mean that you're not allowed to eat? Besu'ud Kedola. It means a very large meal. Velo ledin. That means betchilas din. It means that you're just beginning the din Torah, and they're just starting the tainos of the bali din, and that could take a very extended period of time. So the Gemara brings another. So that's one answer. So one answer is, yes, it's mincha Kedola. What are we so worried about? You have plenty of time. No, you're doing things that take a lot of time. Second answer, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar liolam b'tzisparas didan. No, I'm talking about a regular haircut. L'chadchila amay lo yeshev. Why can't you get a haircut then if it's just a regular haircut and it's only the zman of mincha gedola? Gzeira shemi yishaver azug. Because the scissors might break, and then the barber's going to have to go find another pair of scissors. You're not going to just say, forget it, I'll come back tomorrow, because he already cut half your head. So half the hair on your head, right? So it's going to look ridiculous. So that's like in the Navi when they shave off half the beard, right? You look like a fool. It's a big bizayon to have like that. So you're going to wait, and that could take a long time till he secures another pair of scissors. V'lo l'merchatz, and what, not to go into a merchatz may only mean lazia bialma. It could just be to go for a quick schwitz in the merchatz, not a whole spa day at the merchatz. I l'chadchila amelos. So then why Can't you do it samach l'mincha gdola? Gzera shemiyas alfa. When people would go for a shvitz, sometimes they would feel very faint afterwards, and they would need some time to recuperate from it. V'lo labur siki, and not to a tanner, le'iyune be'alma, to look at the hides. It's just a regular le'iyune be'alma. It's not with a massive amount of hides. You're just doing regular things. L'chadchila amai lo, why can't you do that samach l'mincha gdola? Because we're afraid that you might realize that the oros that you have, the hides that you have, are getting ruined, umitrit, and you're going to have so much tsar from that, that you're losing your parnasa, that you're going to not daven. That's how Rashi understands. It's not that it's going to be time-consuming, it's going to be upsetting. And when a person is upset, he may refrain from davening. The Rambam, Pirshei Mishnah, says, no, it's time-consuming. It's the chashash that he's going to see that he's losing his hides, and therefore or he's going to do whatever he can to be mesakin that hefsid, and that's going to take a lot of time. He's going to try to patch up whatever he can, and that's going to take a lot of time. According to Rashi, this Fasemis points out, even other business matters you shouldn't do before mincha, because you may lose money, and if you may lose money, it will upset you, and that's going to be... But according to the Rambam, no, it's dafka by a borsiki, where you're going to try to be mesakin the kilkul, which is going to be a time-consuming process. V'lo lechol besud ktana, and even eating before mincha gdol may only mean a small meal. Why can't you do it? Because we're afraid that the small meal will turn into something that will be more elongated. And you can't go to a din Torah b'gemar din, even if it's not the tchilas din, even if it's the gemar din. Why can't you do this? Because we're afraid that you're going to come up with some new argument and it's going to ruin what was supposed to be a clear-cut gemar din, and they're going to have to start reanalyzing the whole case. So things can always turn very quickly when you're dealing with a din Torah. La halacha, it's machlok shishonim, meaning what do we assume is correct la halacha? Tosus writes that the halacha is like the first answer, meaning we had two answers over here. What are we talking about that you're not allowed to, when the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do these activities, samach l'min, what exactly do we mean? So the first answer was, we mean that you're not allowed to do these activities samach l'mincha gedola, but only if they're very, very prolonged activities. Second answer, no, even if they're shorter activities, but something might distract you or make them longer. So which answer do we hold like? So Tosos in Dibra Maskel Tispora says, we hold like the first answer. And therefore, you're allowed to start a su'uda ketana samach l'mincha gedola. It's only a large meal that you're not allowed to start. And the halacha is not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who doesn't even allow a su'uda katana samach l'mincha gedola, because the Gemara assumed the first answer, and Rav Ashi is the one that organized the Shas, and when he argues in Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the halacha is like Rav Ashi. But if they began a su'uda katana samach l'mincha katana, if you began even a small meal later in the day, then you have to be mafsik in order to be mispalel first. Even though the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Lav Chav Ches said we don't pass like Rabbi Shur ben Levi, but it sounds like legabe this din that if you're maskil, you're mafsik, we do paskin like Rabbi Shimon Levi, and it's dafka by that which we say that you're not allowed to taste even peiros that we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Levi. That's Tosos. The Rif paskins like Rav Acha bar Yaakov that you're not allowed to even begin a su'uda ketana samach l'mincha gedola, and the Ramban explains that if you begin, you're not mafsik even samach l'mincha ketana, but what you're not allowed to do l'chadchila is even begin a small meal samach l'mincha gedola. So now, last thing for today's daf, the Mishnah discusses if you began one of these things, you don't have to stop. What does it mean began one of these activities? What is considered the beginning of planning to do it, putting it in your Google Calendar? Like, what exactly, how do we define beginning of? So says the Gemara, what's considered the beginning of a haircut? When they put the apron over you that's going to catch your hair, that is the beginning of a person's haircut. And what is considered the beginning of the merchatz of bathing? When you take off ma'afarto. So what does that mean? Rashi understands it means the first beged you take off as you're getting undressed to take a bath. The Rambam, Pirshei Mishnah, says no, it's the last beged you take off. It's the beged that's closest to your basar. The last beged you take off when you're taking a bath. So Asembus is medayik that it sounds like, according according to everybody, going to the Merchatz is not considered the beginning of the bathing process, even if it's a long trip. And it could be that that's only if you're able to daven on the road. But if you're going to have to go all the way back home in order to daven, so maybe even going to the Merchatz, as Fasemus, would qualify as the beginning of bathing. What's considered to be the beginning of tanning? When you tie the apron that a tanner uses between his shoulders in order that that it shouldn't get in his way. Your sleeves behind your back between your shoulders so that they don't get in your way as you are doing your malacha. What's considered the beginning of a meal? Rav says when you wash. Rav Chanina amar mishayatir chagora, that it's when you untie your belt. V'lo pligi halon v'halu, and it's not a machlokas. Rabbi Chanina, when he says that it's when you untie your belt, is talking for Bnei Bavel, who used to tie their belts very, very tight, so they couldn't eat with their belt tied, so they needed to undo their belt in order to be able to eat. And Rav, who said that it's about when you wash your hands, is talking about Bnei Eretz Yisrael, that they didn't have their belts tied so tight, so they didn't need to untie them in order to be able to eat. That is how Rashi understands it. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says the opposite, that Rabbi Chanina is talking for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who would wear belts, and Rav is talking for Bnei Bavel, who apparently did not wear belts. Tosfos points out, if Rav was in Bavel, Rabbi Chanina was in Eretz Yisrael, so you would think, right, Rav was from Bavel, Rabbi Chanina was from Eretz Yisrael, so he says the derech of the Talmidim was to be marchik mibesam, to go far away from their homes in order to be able to learn Torah without the tirdos habayis, without being distracted by everything going on at home. And that's why Rav spoke to his Talmidim who were B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So even though Rav was in Bavel, he had to teach these Talmidim who were B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chanina was speaking to his Talmidim who were B'nai Bavel, which is an amazing thing. Like, we think like the year in Israel idea is like, something brand new, that you send the kids away far from home to learn from Rebbeim who live in a different country, and you have these Rebbeim who live in Eretz Yisrael that are teaching Talmidim that live in the United States. But in fact, that apparently, says Tosfos, was the common practice, because if one is going to focus really strongly in his learning, it helps to remove him from his normal environment, where he can be singularly focused on his learning. Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for joining and learning together. I hope the audio got better as Shir went on. If not, it will be on YU Torah, with all the interruptions and everything. It will be on YU Torah, Bez Hashem, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to learn together in this way, utilizing technology. And thank you again to Rabbi Eitan Zeriker for making all of this possible. Have a great day, everybody.